Jesus.
Father God, we just thank you. We thank you for the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father, that we have that name, that we can use that name above every other name. And at that name, demons will tremble. We thank you, Father, that name brings down devils, Father. Father, we thank you that we have the power and authority to use the name of Jesus. Father God, we thank you for each and every person that's here tonight and each and every person that's watching us online. We thank you, Father, that you have a plan and a purpose for their life. And Father God, we thank you that they will fulfill that plan and that purpose. We thank you tonight as we go to study your word. We thank you, Father, that your word would not return void, but Father God, that that word would penetrate the hearts and the lives of each and every one of us and help us to be doers of the word, not yours only. And Father, we thank you that we'll take that word that springs forth life on the inside of us, and we'll go out to the highways and the byways and share the love of Jesus Christ with the lost and a dying and a hurting world. We thank you, Father, for revival to this nation. We thank you, Father, for revival to this generation. We thank you, Father, for signs, wonders, miracles taking place in our midst today. Father God, we thank you. We come not in our own strength, not in our own power, not in our own might, not in our own ability, but your strength, your power, your might, and your ability that you be lifted up. We thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit that is big on the inside of us, that leads us and guides us and shows us the way and gives us utterance to speak with all boldness, the uncompromising gospel of Jesus Christ. But most of all, we thank you for that anointing that's ever present, that anointing is always around us, that anointing is there, that all we have to do is stir it up. And we thank you that anointing is here tonight. That anointing is always here around about us. And we just thank you for that. Father God, we thank you for mom and dad and the trip that they just took place. Father, we thank you that you're helping them get rest and relaxation on the way home. And we thank you, Father, for just building them up and everything that you're doing in their life. But Father, we thank you for everything you have done and everything you are doing both here and around the world. And we give you the praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Praise God. I hope everyone's doing wonderful tonight. It's nice to be in a nice place with air conditioning. It's kind of been a little hot out the last couple of days. Hopefully that mom and dad don't bring any more of that Samoan heat. I mean, we've had enough heat the last few days. I mean, it is nice to have some nice sunshine, but now a lot of people I've seen, you know, enjoyed the Memorial Day weekend, and now they still enjoying it, you know, with some sunburns, you know, and as they're there at work and stuff. And, you know, it's just the way it is. All right. Well, tonight I want to kind of expound on some things I talked about last week. How many were here last Wednesday night and ministered last week? A lot of you weren't. So let's go back to the scripture I looked at last week, and we're going to look at Deuteronomy 31:8 in the New Living Translation. Kind of talked a couple of things about we talked about last week, and then expound on some things that I've just been actually just thinking about, even in my own mind all week long, and you know, just really, just I said a few things that I've that really kind of made a difference in the way I kind of even see God. It's interesting, Deuteronomy 31:8 starts out, it says, "Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord will personally go ahead of you. He will be with you. He will never fail you nor abandon you." This is Deuteronomy 31:8, New Living Translation. You know, first of all, the most important thing, it says, do not be afraid. You know, it's really interesting how many scriptures in the Bible tells us not to be afraid. Now, every time an angel appeared in the Bible, the first words out of their mouth were "fear not," which means, you know, you'll see an angel when you get scared if you see one, I guess, because they have to tell you to fear not. But I guess it is kind of scary whenever you're sitting there and all of a sudden, boom, something pops out in the middle from nowhere, someone appears, you know. But it is interesting that we have a scripture that says that do not be afraid, but we get scared. So why is that? Now, if we want to be a doer of God's word, obviously we need to do God's word. And what God's word says, do not be afraid. But, you know, he gives a reason why we're not afraid. We're not afraid because God is with us. And see, the reason that we get afraid is because we forget that God is with us. But he's with us and he's always with us. And in fact, not only is he with us, here he tells us, he says, do not be afraid or discouraged. You know, sometimes we're not scared, but we're just upset. We're discouraged. We're worried. We're kind of worried about the future. We're worried about some financial situations. We're worried about this and worried about that. But it goes on to say, for the Lord will personally go ahead of you. So before you get to any situation, we talked about this last week, the Lord has gone ahead of you to help you. You know, so you know, understand that he already knew you were going to get there before you got there. And he was already working to help you before you got yourself in the mess. So do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Your God is with you. He has been with you the whole time. He's gone ahead of you. He's going to prepare a place. I mean, he's preparing. I mean, just like he's been preparing your place in heaven for years. That's your ultimate goal. But you know what? It's not just about heaven. And sometimes, you know, when you see Christians, it's all about heaven, all about one, you know, day soon and very soon, the sky is going to crack, you know, and we're all going to be there walking on the streets of gold. Well, that's great. You know, but what about life here? Now, we all know the scripture that I always quote, that Jesus said that I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. He wants you to have a good life here. But, you know, there are some times that we face disappointment, sometimes that we face obstacles, Dad calls them. You know, sometimes we face things that we never thought we'd ever face. You know, and we have an opportunity to be afraid, opportunity to get discouraged. But when opportunities come, you can choose to have faith or choose to be afraid. You can't be afraid and have faith at the same time. You know, the scripture said only believe. All things are possible if you just believe. Only believe. So, you know, God says he has gone before us, ahead of you. It goes on to say that he'll never leave us nor abandon us. Never leave us nor forsake us. I mean, you know, you're never going to be left alone. So you can't be lying there all depressed and all thinking you're all by yourself, because you're never all by yourself, because God is always with you. The Lord is always with you. And he was there before you were. But the thing I pointed out was what it says here in the New Living Translation. It says he will personally go ahead of you. And I said, you know what? We need to start looking at God as our personal God. Amen. And I pointed out last week that sometimes we look at God as a generic God because he's everybody's God, you know, but he's also your personal God. And just, you know, just like your own earthly father, you might have siblings, but he's your father. Now, he might be their father too, you know, and I understand, you know, you don't have 7.5 billion siblings, all right? And so, you know, but yes, you do, because we all share the same God. You know, and maybe there's not 7.5, whatever the population today is, I'm not sure what it is, but over 7 billion people. But God wants to be all the personal gods. And then, you know, the reason we have trouble with that is because how can you love everybody the same? Because you're God. You're God. You know, and I pointed out, and I used a bad example, but I didn't know what other example to use. I used Santa Claus. You know, we don't have a personal Santa Claus. We share Santa Claus with everybody. You know, and it is interesting, because when you share the story about Santa Claus, or the fictional or real, I don't know what it's real, you know, because I guess there was real people who did that kind of stuff, but there is not a real guy that lives in the North Pole. I just want to let some of you know. I realize I probably just destroyed it for some of you. You've been holding on to that for 40 years. You didn't realize it. You know, it's interesting, you know, and you know he didn't live in the North Pole anyway, because he's at every mall in the country, actually every mall in the world, because I've been in Brazil and seen him over there. You know, he's, you know, so anyway, but he's, you know, it's interesting, because, you know, the whole story about Santa Claus, you know, after one night of taking care of all the kids, I mean, he has to take vacation for the rest of the year. You know, maybe not the whole year, because he showed up at the mall in September now, I guess, you know, because, you know, it's getting earlier and earlier. But you know, the point is, you're thinking, how can God be my personal God when he's everybody else's personal God? And that's because you don't have the capability that God did, or God does. But remember, he's the one that created the heavens and the earth. He's the one that created the whole thing to begin with. He's the one that said, let there be, and there was. All right, he has the capability. And so we have to start looking at God as our personal God, that he loves us that much, that he's not going to forsake us, that he's not going to leave us, that he doesn't want bad things to happen to us. Because some people have the theory that God wants to punish you. God doesn't want to punish you. All right, he doesn't want to punish you. He doesn't want you to hurt. He wants to love you, and he does love you. And, you know, the biggest way that he did show us how much he loved us is over in John 3:16. Reading that from the New Living, I mean, he gave us Jesus. Now you think about that. It says, this is the New Living, John 3:16. For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only son so that everyone who believes in him would not perish, but have eternal life. Now you understand, God only had one son, Jesus Christ. But he loved the world so much, he was willing to sacrifice his only son because he loved you. I mean, that shows forth a lot of love. Now, I don't know how many of you here, you know, have sons and daughters, but I love my children. I do anything for my children. I make so many sacrifices for my children. I've driven many a mile just to spend time with my kids. You know, for a while, Cameron lived up in Indiana, and I would drive 8 hours to watch a race to get back in the car to go home. You know, just to spend an hour with him at a racetrack somewhere in Illinois or Indiana, just to start on my way home to make it back to Oklahoma City Church. You know, I'd end up driving 16 hours a weekend just to spend an hour with my son. So much I love my son. I mean, you know, just even on Sunday, after I preached and was tired and didn't really want to go anywhere, my son really wanted me to come. I drove 3 hours to Wichita just to watch him race. You know, I love my son. I have a son who's in prison right now in Lawton, Oklahoma. I drive 3 hours there, 3 hours back just to spend a few hours with him in a visitation room. You know, because you love your kids. I mean, you want to spend time with your kids. But God loves you so much that he even gave up his only son just to save you, that you'll have an eternal life. You know, I mean, think about it. I mean, how the whole thing worked is that Adam and Eve messed up. God had this all planned out. Adam and Eve made a mistake. What was their mistake? To listen to the devil. That was their mistake. You know, they made the same mistakes that we've all made. They've listened, you know, to the one who's there to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That was the devil's ultimate plan. And so after that, you know, God could have said, well, guys, man, I did all this and I'm just done. But he didn't. He said, I got to come up with another way. There's got to be another way. But ultimately, you know, not only that, I mean, think about how much love that Jesus has for us. Because he's like, God, if there be any other way, I'd really would like to take the other way. But he says, no, there is no other way. I mean, he laid down his life for ours. But ultimately, you know, he didn't lay down his life for Christians. He laid down his life for the world. And that's what we have to understand. It wasn't because there's these children of God that love you. He said he laid down his life for the people who didn't even love him. And that's why, you know, he was there on the cross and he says, forgive them for they don't even know what they're doing. I mean, God loves people that don't even love him back. Because it goes on in verse 16, well, actually, verse 17 says, God has sent his son into the world, not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. There is no judgment against anyone who believes in him, but anyone who does not believe in him has already been judged for not believing in God's one and only son. You know, really, we have a choice to believe in him or not. And the Bible says, don't judge them if they don't believe in him, because you know what? Ultimately, they're going to reach their own judgment. You know, and that's the thing about it is, just because God loves you doesn't mean you reciprocate your love toward God. You can. You know, and sometimes we love God, but we don't really show God how much we love him. You know, and same way with us and even our own children, how sometimes we love our parents, but sometimes we don't express it to them. You know, and the sad part about it is what happens a lot of times in people's life, you know, they let little small things get between them and their parents or them and their siblings. And, you know, then something happens and someone passes away and they're like, man, I really wish I would have spent more time. You know, I wish I wouldn't let this thing get between me. You know, and it's interesting, you know, God, I mean, he loves all of us, but you know, we all show love differently. You know, we all have different languages of love, and it's interesting, you know, when you have different, you have so many kids, it's interesting how all of them are different. I mean, you know, me, I have three kids of my own, four step kids. I have seven kids of my, and you know, and they all are different. We, you know, they they all express their love differently, and you love them differently. But sometimes, you know, sometimes our kids push us away. Even though we love them, they push us away. Don't push God away. Don't push God away. Let him help. You know the biggest thing that frustrates parents a lot of times, you know, parents want to help their kids, and their kids they don't want their help. But you know, a lot of times that's how we are with God. It's not that we don't want our help, but all we have to do is ask. All we have to do is say, God, help me. And we don't. Sometimes we don't because we think, well, you know, he's too busy. He has 7 other billion people to take care of. I mean, you know, I can get by, but you don't have to. He loves you. You know, he wants you. I mean, I actually like it when my kids ask me to help. Now, sometimes it gets expensive. I get that. You know, but I only have limited supply. My Heavenly Father has ultimate supply. There's nothing that he can't supply. There's nothing he can't do. And he wants to supply it for me. He wants to show. I mean, you know, he's ultimately shown his love toward me through Jesus Christ, but he wants to keep continually showing his love. The only way to actually feel someone's love is to spend time with somebody. You know, and really, sometimes when you're not, you know, you can miss someone, but when you spend time with somebody, I mean, that's when you really feel their love. And we need to take some time to spend some time with God sometimes. I mean, he loves us. He cares about us. He's right there with us. He's fighting with us. He's helping us. You know, and I've just been thinking about how much my God loves me. And I've been thinking about, how much I love my kids. And how much I love, my God loves me more than I love my kids. And I can't even fathom that. I can't fathom that. You know, for me, it's hard. I can't fathom, but you know, he loves all of us the same. See, sometimes we have a warp, I get it. Sometimes you think that that fathers have a favorite son or a favorite kid. But we think the same thing with God. We think, well, God has favorites. You think, well, God can never love me as much as he loved Brother Hagin. I've heard people even say that. That's not true. He's no respecter of persons. No respecter of persons. You know, and in fact, if you go through my grandfather's history, you realize that when he walked off the deathbed at 17 years old, he knew really not much about faith. Except for a few scriptures he read in the Bible. And he ultimately lived and didn't die. And you know, how much more, we know so much more about faith, but we just take it for granted. We don't even walk in what we know. And sometimes it's because we think God's mad at us. Sometimes we think, well, you know, he really doesn't care. God's just too busy with some other people. He's never too busy for you. In fact, he is your personal God that has already gone before you. In fact, sometimes he's sitting there waiting to help and says, here I am, please, let me help. Because he ultimately comes to us, we have to decide whether we're going to let him help or not. We have not because we ask not. Ask what we will and it shall be done. In fact, Jesus said, if you ask anything in my name, that I'll do it. All we have to do is ask. But you know what? Sometimes we don't ask because we don't think we're worthy. We don't think we deserve it. We think, well, you know what? I've just been a big screw up all my life. You know, and because what happens a lot of times, we actually think, if I was God, I would probably treat you meaner than God treats me. Because I might give you what you deserve, but God's going to give you what you don't deserve. And that's what you have to understand. You have to train yourself that you get what you don't deserve. That even though, you know, I understand, you know, in real life with your own family, sometimes because you did something wrong as a kid, you didn't get dessert. Anyone ever happened to that? You know, been out for dinner and you didn't get dessert because, you know, you decided to hit your sister instead of them, you know, doing what you're supposed to or you know, whatever. It's happened to me many times. I don't know. You know, it's just my sister got in the way. I was just swinging my hands and something happened. And don't know how it happened. You know, She was picking on me, and I was the older one, so I just got caught. I don't know how it worked. But, you know, sometimes that you don't get, you know, the sundae with the cherry on top and all that stuff because you don't deserve it. You didn't do things wrong. But you know what? The thing about it is, whether you deserve it or not, God still wants to give you the sundae with cherry on top. That means my God wants to spoil me more than my own father did. See, you know, we don't get the mentality a lot of times. We don't get that mentality, my God wants to spoil me. And if my God wants to spoil me, everything is going to work out. You know, because what happens is we're too busy looking about what it looks like and what facts might say. And, you know, and statistics say that if you owe this amount of money and you make this amount of money and you have this amount of money in the bank, that you're probably going to need to file bankruptcy if you have a chance. You're not even have a chance of making it because there is no way that you're going to get yourself out of this hole and blah, blah, blah. Or maybe facts say that, you know, you're going to die of this or whatever. But it doesn't matter what facts say, because my God wants to spoil me. And I'm not in this situation by myself. It's not about just me. You know, I'm not the one that has to heal myself. I only have to believe. Amen. You know what? The Bible says only believe. It doesn't say to do it. It doesn't say, well, you got to figure out how. Yeah. Or, you know what? You know, you have to figure it out. He didn't say you figure it out. Now, I know sometimes our earthly parents will say, you figure it out. You know, but our Heavenly Father, you know what? He doesn't have to ask us because he's already figured it out. Amen. Remember, he went before you. Yep. Now, let's go over to Romans chapter 8. Let's read a couple of things there from the New Living Translation. We're going to skip around a little bit. Romans, the 8th chapter. And let's look at this verse right here. Verse 28. I like this one. It says, and we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. It says God causes everything to work together for the good, not for the bad. It says for the good. God wants good things to happen to you. And he's making things work out. With God, everything will work out. If you don't fear, if you don't be afraid, if you just believe, because God loves you. He loves you. And you need to see him as your personal father. You need to see him as one who wants to spoil you. And it doesn't matter what you've done. I mean, we've all seen some kids that are spoiled. And you know, sometimes we think that they need a whipping instead of being spoiled. You know, because they probably don't deserve what they have. But in all reality, you're one of those kids. You know, because maybe you might not be worthy. But God says, you know, because of my son Jesus Christ, you are. And no matter what you've done, you're still worthy. I still want to give you my best. God wants to give you his best. It doesn't matter. You know, we serve the God of the fourth and the fifth and the sixth and the seventh and the 70 times seventh chance. You know, and that's why it kind of even hurts me to, you know, when I see Christians and I say, but, you know, they've done this and they've done that. I mean, you know, just because you have the baseball three strikes and you're out mentality doesn't mean that's God's mentality. And if that's not God's mentality, and you have the love of God shed abroad in your own heart as a fellow believer and a fellow brother or sister in Christ Jesus, then you have to continue to love them regardless of how many times they've messed up, how many times that they haven't made it. Because we still love them. And we should still pull for them. I don't care what anybody else has done, you know, because they're part of our family. And, you know, it is interesting how sometimes we let our family get away with a whole lot more than we let people that we don't know and not related to. Right? Because they're our family, and we know that they're a good person at heart. And we know their heart, and we know that they just had some bad experiences or that. But you know what? We're all part of the same family, the family of God. You know, and we serve the God of the 70 times seventh chance. We need to remember that. 70 times, that's a long time. You know, and I mean, I've, you know, there is no time I've ever thought, well, you know, that person cannot be redeemed, because the Bible says we've all been redeemed through Christ Jesus. And people say, well, people don't change. You know, I mean, I got plenty of great examples from the Bible. One of them's name is Apostle Paul. He wrote quite a bit of it. If he can change, you can change, and anybody else can change. You know, people can change. Now, I understand a lot of people don't, because you know what? You have to make a choice to change. It makes a choice. I mean, what you do and how you do it and things like that. And there's a lot of things to it. But the thing about it is I have found out that people never change if people don't believe in them. If you won't believe in someone, they're not going to change because, you know, I mean, a lot of times they need someone to believe in them. But you know what? God always believes in you. God always believes you can make it. He loves you. And not only does he believe it, he's there with you working together for the good. Trying to make everything work out. He's like, man, I'm right here. I'm with you. I'm not going to leave you. I don't care if all your friends leave you. I don't care if you go down to zero Facebook friends. God will still follow you. That was the one thing way back in MySpace days. You know, whenever anyone remember MySpace days? But when you joined, Tom became your friend. If you can't find any other friend, you had a guy named Tom who started the company. He was anyone remember Tom? He was everybody's friend. I just read the other day what Tom's doing. Tom sold MySpace for I can't how many millions of dollars, and I think it was billions of dollars, actually. So Tom is now travels the world looking for the perfect picture. That's what he does. He's trying to find a perfect picture, just to take a perfect picture. So that's what it says. Because if I had $8 billion or whatever, you know, I guess I could do that too, but, you know. But anyway, Tom was always your friend, but God's always your friend. Regardless, if you don't have any other friends, if your family bails on you, God will never bail on you. I mean, you know, and the thing about it is because, well, actually, you know what? I can just keep reading. All right, verse 31 here, it says, what shall we say about such wonderful things as these? If God is for us, who can be against us? Well, think about it, man, if you have God on your side, what's the matter who else is against you? I mean, basically, if you got God, who cares? You know, it's kind of, I mean, you know, think about, you know, maybe some of you remember back in gym class, whenever you would, you know, pick teams and there was one guy who was a superstar. And basically, if you knew if you got him on your team, you're going to win. You have the ultimate superstar. In fact, you don't have to pick anybody else on your team. You always win. Always. He always causes you to triumph through Christ Jesus. So what's it matter? If God be for you, who cares? Who cares who's against you? See, the interesting part about it is how many times have we sat there in our own, you know, moany place, crying and griping about who's against us? Whether they be people, whether it be a financial situation, whether it be a sickness, you know, we're griping about who's against us when we should be thanking God because he's for us. We should be looking at who's for us instead of who's against us. It's not what's stacked against us, it's what's stacked for us. Because, you know, whatever they say, sometimes they say the chips are stacked against you. Have you ever had that expression? Well, with God, your stack is always taller. When you have God, you have the chips stacked for you. So you don't have to care about what's against you. If you have God for you, who cares? So you need to remember any situation that you've ever got yourself into or you've ever encountered. First of all, God was already there before you were. He's already with you. Quit being afraid. And remember, he's going to always stick with you. He's your personal God. And he's for you. And there's nothing that's going to stop him. You know, it's interesting, you know, everybody heard the Blood Bought Church song that we've sang here for years and years. You know, that one part, nothing that can stop that mighty moving force. That's kind of you and God. Nothing is going to stop you. Amen. The only thing that can stop you is your own mind. Do you realize that? Because the devil has no right, has no authority, has no ability in the name of Jesus that he has to go. It says the name of Jesus is above any name. The devil has no right. You have God on your side. What more do you need? What more do you need? I mean, you don't need any television preacher if you got God. You know, that's the thing about it. I don't know how many people, they're waiting me. If I could just get an email from Brother So-and-so, maybe I could get through this. If I could just talk to him, or he could just pray for me. You already have God on your side. You know, and I understand a lot of people say, well, I want to have the best, oh, I want to have the best team possible. I want the Avengers on my side too. You got God. You don't need the Avengers. Amen. You don't need anybody else. You don't need any other superheroes. I mean, you don't need anybody. You have God. And I want you to let that soak in sometime. You have God. All right, let's skip down a little bit. Verse 35 says this: can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or are persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? So the scriptures say, for your sake we are killed every day. We are being slaughtered like sheep. No, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ Jesus who loved us. No matter what happens, we are still victorious through Christ Jesus. Because see, that was God showing his love by giving us Christ Jesus and giving us his name. I mean, you know, letting him die on the cross, take the stripes on his back, and by his stripes, we were healed. It goes on to say, verse 38, and I am convinced that nothing or no thing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, neither our fears for today or our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus, our Lord. There's nothing that can ever separate you from God's love, nothing you can ever do, nothing you can ever say, that will ever keep God from loving you. In fact, based on this, even if you do not accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, even if you die and go to hell, God still loves you. He loves you no matter what. Because sometimes we feel that we have been such a bad person that God can't possibly love us. And you know, if he does let us into heaven, it's going to be by the hair of our chinny chin chin or something like that. You know, and he wants us to suffer here. In fact, sometimes the reason people suffer is because they don't want to ask God for help because they think they deserve to suffer. But they don't deserve to suffer. You deserve to have life and have it more abundantly. And God loves you. And I tell you, God right now, I know he looks out and he sees these people that have this warp. You know, the reason it's warped because, see, the devil comes and tries to tell them that's what God wants. You know, imagine how hard would it be to think, you know what, I've done all this for you and you still won't accept my benefits. You know, and there's a lot of people, hey, they're on the road to heaven. That's great. They're born again Christian, but they're still not walking in health. You know, they're walking in poverty. They're barely getting along. And God's saying, I'm right here. I love you guys. Please let me help. Please let me help. I just want to show you my love. I've already shown you through Jesus Christ. But I want to show you. I want to love you. I want to spend time with you. He's your personal God. And he says, like, don't be afraid. I'm there. I'm here. He's always there. You know, interesting part about it, your own kids, you know, when they're little, you know, sometimes middle of the night, they get afraid, they call out, you know, their mom or their dad or whatever. And it's interesting, as soon as you're running up the stairs, barely awake, you know, tripping over things and whatever, you're like, I'm here, you know, but whenever you're there, it just makes them feel a lot better. You know, and sometimes what happens is, you know, they'll say, well, can I sleep in your bed for a while or whatever that might, you know, because there's something about you being there. The comforter. But you know what? God is always there with you. Jesus is always there with you. He said he'll never leave you nor forsake you. Well, they're there. They're always with us. What do we have to fear? What do we have to fear? The only thing that we're afraid because the devil tries to put fear upon us. He tries to make us afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't worry. Understand that your personal God loves you. He wants to spoil you. He wants to spoil you. And I want you to think about that next time you're going through bad stuff. Next time things aren't working out. Next time it seems that, you know, whether it's a financial situation, a physical situation, situation with your family or whatever, I want you to understand that God wants to turn everything for good. And he's right there with you, and he's helping you, and he loves you. And you can call upon him. And when you need answers, you call upon him. The Bible says if you lack wisdom, just ask. I mean, you know, there's a lot of times that, you know, I'm not saying you're stupid. I'm saying that we need wisdom in a certain area. We need wisdom how to handle this situation. We need wisdom, you know, sometimes it's like, you know, you've tried everything. You know what to do. You've tried to talk about it. You've tried to do it, but you just need wisdom how to handle it, how to speak. So sometimes you have to need wisdom how to talk to your own kids, how to speak with them in a way that comes off showing how much that you do love them and that you want to help and not coming off of saying, see, I told you so, and you shouldn't have done that. You know, but our Father loves us. He's our personal God. And I want you to think about that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for each and every person that's here. And Father God, we thank you to help us to have a new perspective on how much you love us and how much you care about us, Father. Father, we just thank you that we'll always understand that there's nothing that we can ever do that can cause you not to love us. And we just thank you for it now. We thank you for each and every person that's here, Father. And we thank you have a plan and a purpose for their life. And Father God, they will fulfill that plan and that purpose. We thank you, Father, for touching their lives and their bodies financially, physically, spiritually, emotionally, and every way, Father. We just thank you for everything you're doing in their life. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand up. Praise God. If you're a first-time visitor, we're glad to have you tonight. Like I said, Mom and Dad, they'll be back in town on Sunday morning. You can meet them. But the Connection team, they're in the aisle, and they want to take you, and they have a special place for you. They want to give you a gift that we have for you, and we want to invite you to come back whenever you're in the area. We have service right here, 10 a.m. on Sunday morning, 6 p.m. on Sunday nights, and 7 p.m. on Wednesday nights. If you ever been in Oklahoma City, we're there 6 p.m. on Sunday nights at Rhema, Oklahoma City. You know, we have people up here, they're here ready to pray for you for anything, whether you need salvation, whether you need prayer for whatever it might be, they're here. We've got some women over here, men over there. If you're a man, you go that way. Woman, if you go that way, if you don't know what you are, you talk to one of the ushers and they'll lead you and guide you to the proper place. Amen? Amen. Turn around, shake hands with someone and say, man, I'm so glad I have a personal God, and you're dismissed.